son-in-law and his father have a dear friend whose name was Ada, who passed on into the presence of the Lord this last week. So just very interesting timing on that with those names. But we pray to the Lord for a new birth and for new babies and for the opportunity for those families to be raising their children. Our message title this morning is Obey, Honor, and Instruct. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at continue to look at relationships. And these relationships, as we've been saying all along, are built on the basis of submission to the Lord. As Paul has said earlier, that we are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. We are to be looking to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That means submissive. And that happens in many different forms. And now we're talking about family relationships between children and between parents. Father, we pray that as we look to your word, especially those who have children, that are young children now, that you would be speaking to our hearts about our responsibility and for children to teach them their responsibilities before you. Help us, Lord, to learn from your word. May it impact our lives and our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Read with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. From the time of the fall in the Garden of Eden, the family has been plagued and has been given problems of every sort. And those problems are there to seek to weaken and to destroy the family and undermine it. And I think with everything, the first very problematic cause is, as it is in every problem that we have in the world, the sinful nature with which every person is born. It's that sinful nature that creates those problems. It's the curse and the result of the curse that causes men to be tyrants in the marriage. It's the curse that causes women in the marriage to usurp or to overrule their husband's role. It's that curse that causes parents to abuse and to misuse their children. And it's that curse that causes children to be disobedient to their parents. Only when Jesus Christ, only when he is in control as Lord and Savior, can a family truly live up to and fulfill God's commands. That's why we're to be subject in the fear of Christ. It's only when that. So Christ must be the center of our lives as believers if we're going to have a family that is going to bring him honor and bring him glory. Paul gives us some outlines of these guidelines for the family. And the first one that we're going to take a look at is in verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you may be it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So the first thing that we have is the submission of the children. And in inaction, notice that word there. Paul says children are what? To obey. To obey. Obey means to submit to comply with, and to heed, to follow directions and instructions. Literally, obey means to hear under, to be under the authority of the mom and dad. You know, when we have we were talking about this morning on the way up here about our granddaughter. She's picked up a new trait. The other day, she stayed with us. We babysit with them oftentimes on Saturday, and she stayed with us. And Anne was, she was doing something to a piece of furniture, and Anne went over and said, you know, that Ivy, you can't do that because you're going to hurt the furniture, so you can't do that. Well, the very first thing that she did was this. Then she walked over to the hallway, and when Anne tried to talk to her and get her to go with me outside, she went and sat down and did this. What is that called? Pouting. Children, and we can't figure out where she learned that. Now, it could be that she does go to daycare periodically. Maybe she picked that up. But I said, I think what it really is just that sinful nature coming out. Children pick up sinful natures and evidences of it when they're very, very young. She's not even 3 years old yet. She's already exhibiting this. What is she really saying when she does that? What is she really saying? If she's being disobedient, but she's expressing it in a way that's called pouting. She doesn't want to have to stop doing what she's doing. She doesn't want to be told by grandma that she can't do that. She doesn't want to have to obey. That's the bottom line. So she's pouting. She's expressing herself and her discontent with having to do what she doesn't want to do or having to stop doing what she is doing. So obedience means literally to hear under. That means that the child is to listen to the voice of their parents attentively and respond to what they hear with submission. They are to do as they are told, quite simply. That's what Paul is saying. This obedience, if a child learns that, if they learn obedience, that obedience that is in the home, what does obedience do? In the home, it lays the foundation for what? For the obedience in the rest of their lives. If a child can learn that obedience in the home, it's a foundation for them. The children are learning respect for authority, whether at school or through in the government, or whether it's at work that they're going to be involved with, that they're learning obedience in those things that will be a part of their adult life. And ultimately what they're learning through that concept of obedience is obedience to whom? To the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father. They are learning the pattern of obedience as they walk in obedience to their parents. The basic reason for obedience is what? Paul says it very clearly. Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is what? It's right. The basic reason is because it is right. It's because that's what God says. Children are learning that this rightness is there because God says it. This rightness, we have a lot of psychological things, and we have people that have all kinds of theories about child behavior and what they should be doing with their children. This isn't based upon any of those psychological studies. It's not based upon any human theory about what you do with children. No, it's based upon God's standard of right. That's the bottom line. God's declaring that it makes it right, and that's exactly as it should be. I love what Psalm 19, verse 8 says. The precepts, the word of God, the statutes, the law, the commandments of the Lord are what? They are right. That's what Paul says is right. And they rejoice the heart. When they are followed and obeyed, especially in the home, there is going to be unity and there's going to be joy. The way of the Lord is right, the psalmist said. And the psalmist also said, or Hosea also said, the way of the Lord is right, and the righteous will what? Walk in them. But transgressors will stumble in them. That sinful nature doesn't want to obey. But God says, children, you are to obey your parents. The other thing that we see not only in action in our lives, which is the obedience, but Paul also goes on to say in verse 2, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother, that it may be, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So the next thing that we see is in our attitude. It's our attitude. The word honor there that Paul uses, what does that mean? It means to respect. It means to revere, to hold in high regard, to look up to someone with respect and reverence. That speaks about a child's attitude toward what his parents tell him to do. A child that is not obedient and is disobedient, a wicked child may obey the voice of his parents, but secretly despises them in his heart. He may outwardly obey while carrying out the orders, but behind their backs he's talking to them, or behind their backs he's cursing them. All of us grew up, and there were probably many times when our parents told us to do something, we did it, but we did it with a grudging heart. I remember our son, maybe I've shared this with you, when he was eating peas, he hated peas, couldn't stand peas. And he sat at the table. He says, I'm eating him on the outside, but I'm not eating him on the inside. And what he was saying was exactly that. His attitude was that I really don't want to honor what you want me to do. But that you can't do that. They carry out the orders, but they might be cursing them or talking back about them under his breath. That is a wrong attitude. Children should always, always, always respect their parents. They should never run their parents down to their friends. They should love and respect their parents even after they are grown and after they're married. Again, what happens? Why do we honor? Because it fosters a respect for others in our relationship with other people. A child who will disrespect his parents will usually have little respect for other people. That's plain to see in our world today as we look at it. It's filled with rude, self-centered, and very disrespectful people. But a person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to their parents will have what? They'll have the foundation for respecting the authority of leaders and other people in general. That's why the family is so important. And that's why in the family it's so important to teach your children to honor and respect their parents, because it establishes a foundation for the rest of their lives in their relationship with other people. With respect, notice that Paul says here, I want you to obey your parents, what? In the Lord, for this is right. That phrase, in the Lord, when the commands of the parents, if they contradict the clear teachings of the Bible, that's one time that the child is not to obey. They are not to obey if it contradicts God's standard. If you as a parent tell your children to do something illegal or immoral, they have the right and they have the responsibility not to obey that. That's the one time that they don't obey in their parents. So the phrase in the Lord, what does that mean? Well, in the Lord really means this. It refers to the sphere of pleasing the Lord. So you honor and you obey your parents in the Lord. That's teaching them that overall in life you must come to that point of honoring and obeying Christ himself. You are teaching them that you are speaking there of obeying the parents for the Lord's sake. It's for Christ's sake that they do it. Children obey their parents as a reflection of their obedience to the Lord. So you're teaching them about that at a very early age. Notice in verse 3, that you it may be well with you, here's the promise, and that you may live long on the earth. Children are also to do what? They're to honor their parents because it carries a promise. It carries a promise. The general rule of this promise, from what Paul is saying, is that children who honor their parents will live longer and better lives. The quality of their life, that it's healthy for you to honor your parents. The proverb says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. And it also says in Proverbs, hear my son, and what? Accept my words. That the years of your life will be many. So there is this whole pervading theme in the scriptures that children, if you honor and respect your parents, it promotes your life in a longer and better and more quality-based life than if you did not do that. Now, while we may outgrow the call to obey our parents, and there is a time where you are no longer under the authority of your parents, especially when you get married, but as you get older and if you leave the house, you're no longer under their authority, as it were. So at what age does that happen? I don't know. It depends. Every family's different. But there comes a point where the child is no longer under the authority and they outgrow the call to obey their parents. But you know one thing that you never outgrow the call to do is to honor your parents. When I go through a marriage counseling, I've just gone through a marriage counseling with a couple that's getting married at the end of June. And I always talk to them. This idea of leaving and cleaving does not mean that you no longer honor your parents. You always honor your parents, no matter how old you are. You give them respect, and God will bless you for that. So the children are to honor, they're to obey, and to honor their parents. What about the parents? What does it say about them? Well, the submission of the parents is in the next verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The first commandment there, don't provoke your children. It's a negative. Do not provoke your children to anger. Now, when we look at it, it says father here, but the word father really implies parents in general. It's often used of both parents, and that seems to be the case here because Paul is talking about both parents. Children are to obey your parents. And then he goes into this concept of father, but I think it means both parents. And now that's a totally new concept in Paul's day. This idea of not provoking your children to anger, of really chiding and admonishing the father and the parents to make sure that they treat their children properly was not common and not popular in the days of Paul. In the days of Paul, most families were in a shambles, and mutual love for one another in the family was not even a part of the culture. As an example, a father, if he wanted to, because he had total and supreme authority, if he wanted to, he could throw his kids out of the house. He could sell them as slaves and make a profit on them. Or, most importantly and the most heinous thing, if he did not like something about that child, he could have that child killed. And he would not be held accountable to anyone. That's the culture that Paul is writing this into. So it's very, very profound. It goes against the grain of the culture. Even today, it goes against the grain of the culture. We have a lot of people claiming that children have the right to be able to do whatever they want. That's counterculture. This is counterculture to tell a child to obey and to honor their parents. Counterculture. And now for fathers to be different than what they were before. It's a totally new concept. So what does to provoke to anger mean? What does that whole concept mean? It means this. It suggests a repeated, and I want you to understand this, it's a repeated ongoing pattern of treatment. Something that's going on all the time. And it will gradually build up a deep-seated anger and resentment in that child that will boil over into outward hostility. In other words, you bring them to that point where they can no longer tolerate it and they will just burst out. There will be something there that will just cause them to crash. But it's because of your lack of treating them the way you should. So don't provoke them. And sometimes the things that fathers do, you do that because you often think it's best for the child's good, and it's not intentionally done to harm them. But there are several ways in which we as parents can provoke them and provoke them to be resentment and to be bitter. And here are some of those ways. And these are not all inclusive, and these there's others as well, but these are just some general ways in which fathers, parents, we can provoke our children. Number one is well-meaning overprotection. Overprotection. I think a lot of us can identify with that. Smothering your child is another word for it. Overly protecting them. Overly restricting where they can go. Overly restricting what they can do and who they can be with. Never trusting them to do things on their own. Continually questioning them about their decisions and about their judgments. These can all build barriers between you and that child. Now, children do need careful guidance. They do need restrictions. They do need structure. Structure is very important in a child's life. But they must also learn what? To make decisions on their own. They need to learn to be allowed to make mistakes at times if necessary. Don't overly protect them. If you do, you're smothering your child and you're going to provoke them. They're going to get very, very upset with the fact that you're not trusting them to be able to do what they must do. So we need to be willing to be careful about that. Another one that can provoke your children is this, and we oftentimes do this as well. Favoritism. Favoritism, by showing favoritism from one child over another child. Comparing children to one another, especially in the child's presence. When you do it in the child's presence, when they see you showing favoritism in the family, in their presence, that is devastating to the child. Especially to the one who's less talented or less gifted or less loved. They'll tend to become what? They'll become very, very discouraged. They'll become resentful. And they will become withdrawn and or maybe even bitter because they see that you're showing favoritism to another child. Favoritism by parents can often lead to favoritism among the children themselves. They will pick on one another because mom or dad says, I'm the better of the kid in their actions. And that only destroys that child's personality and character, but it also does not foster unity among the family, which is part of what we are trying to do as parents, promoting unity in the body of Christ, because it reflects unity in the church itself. Another thing that parents sometimes do is this, to provoke their children. They come up with unreasonable expectations. Unreasonable expectations in your child. A child can be so pressured to achieve. I see this a lot in the area of sports. I see parents constantly pressuring their children to be able to excel. And oftentimes that pressure becomes so much that they are virtually destroyed. They learn this. They learn that nothing they ever do is good enough to please their parents. That's what they're learning. Nothing I ever do is good enough to please my parents. And parents often mistakenly will use their children to fantasize their own desire, especially to excel, especially in the area of athletics. Maybe it's even academics, but they put pressure on their children to perform and excel, mainly because they're living vicariously through their children. They can ruin their children. Here's what we need to do. We need to do this. Be sensitive to your child's abilities. Know your children's abilities. Everyone is different. Some are going to be athletic, some are not. They're going to be klutzes. Some are going to be very academic, some are not. They'll never get fractions. We have a child who, I love her to death, but she just does not get fractions. She can't do it. Even today, if you try to tell her. The other guy, he is just super genius. He's a brain. I mean, he picks it up just like that. But they're two distinct people. And you've got to be sensitive to what they can or cannot do. So be sensitive to their abilities. And here's the key. Don't pressure them with more than they are capable of handling. Don't put that much pressure on them. There was a time where our son was in basketball and he was involved in a culture of basketball where you really were a part of the team if you were from that area. Andrew never grew up in this area, so he never really became a part of that culture. And because of that, he was kind of left out of some areas. And so we had to come to that point where it was bothering him so much to play, even though in my mind as a father, I knew he was good and I knew that he could outplay any of those other kids if given the time. We decided not to force him to go on and play basketball because it would have crushed him. You have to be sensitive to them. Now, what I'm also saying is this. I'm not saying that you don't teach children to strive and to go above and beyond. I'm not saying that. But if it comes to the point where it crushes them, then you need to back off. Okay, discouragement. This is what will happen if we continue to do that. A child who is never complimented, a child who is never encouraged by their parents, is destined for trouble. If we always are being told what's wrong with us, and sometimes we can do that, be careful. If we're always telling our children what's wrong with them and never what they are doing correctly or well, they can lose hope. They can become discouraged and convinced that they are incapable of doing anything that is right. Here's what a child needs. A child needs approval. And they need encouragement in things that are good as much as they need correction in the things that are not. So there needs to be that balance. But you need to be encouraging your children and helping them to grow in a positive way. The second thing that we see that is a responsibility of parents, not to provoke, and then the next one is to bring them up. Bring them up. Notice what Paul says here. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but what? Bring them up. How? In the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Your word there may say nurture and admonition of the Lord. But discipline and instruction. A child who is brought up in this is brought up in a way that is systematically training that child. Discipline here really refers to the systematic training of the children. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, the proverb says he will not depart from it. It's the idea of not only teaching them how to do things, but it's also teaching them what not to do. It's the idea of chastening. Discipline, therefore, has to do with what? The overall training of that child, including chastening and including punishing them for what they have done wrong. The word there for instruction is this. Instruction means that I am literally putting it to their mind. I'm bringing it to the forefront of them. So when I'm instructing them, I am teaching them. I am bringing it. Remember in Deuteronomy it says that you shall talk about them all the time when you sit down and when you stand up. You are instructing them. You're teaching them. And it includes that idea of correction. Sometimes a child needs to be corrected or disciplined. That's part of your responsibility as far as the training of that child. It refers to the type of instruction found throughout the Proverbs. And if you look at the Proverbs, the primary focus is on the training and teaching of the children. It doesn't have to do so much with factual information, and you are doing that. You're giving them factual information. But it really is more importantly this. What you're teaching them is right attitudes and principles of what? Of behavior. Having the right attitudes and the principles of behavior. Teaching them what is correct. Teaching them how to live in a way that pleases God. That's your primary responsibility as a parent. The key to right discipline and instruction of children is it's being of the Lord. Notice that it's of the Lord. Everything you as parents do for your children is to be according to the teaching of God's Word. By the guiding and the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to the glory of the Father. That's what you're doing. Now, I think any of us here who have raised children, and most of you here who are now raising children, will especially think that it seems like an eternity when you're right in the middle of it. I've talked to a couple of younger fathers recently, and it's like, does it ever stop? Does it ever quit? I'm constantly telling them no. I'm constantly correcting them. They never listen to what I say. It's like learning how to flush a toilet. You got to keep doing it over and over again. Does it ever end? Yes, it does end. While you're going through that, though, it's going to seem like an eternity. Just get over that and realize that. But when it's over, I guarantee you this. You'll look back on it, and it will seem like it went just like that. You'll think, oh, I wish I had spent more time training my children, teaching my children, loving my children, encouraging my children. You will wish that because it's such a short season. And growing up seems like forever when you're 12. It's like, am I ever going to get out of this 12-year-old body and away from these parents? But when you're 40, that will look like a very brief instant in your life. So here's the admonition. Children, live out God's direction so that you can be willing to do that. Obey and honor your parents so that you'll have a life that will be filled with joy. Parents, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, that baby daughter or that son will soon be having your grandchildren before you know it. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord now and leave a legacy for them that will model obedience and honor to the Lord, which is your primary responsibility. Father, we thank you for families, and we thank you for the security that a family brings and affords to the children. We thank you for the legacy of training for obedience and honor that it brings in respect, and how vital that is in the lives of our children, that they would learn those things from their parents. And that the children would learn to be obedient and to honor their parents so that they can do that in the rest of their lives as they grow up. That it never stops. Parents, help, by God's help, ask Him to teach you how to train your child, how to instruct your child, how to be the parent that you want to be for them because of what the Lord has done for you. Help them to be the children that God wants them to be. And we praise you for that. May we have families that are delighting in the Lord and in His instruction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with me for service and songs.